It's the morning show. I'm John Munson. The new Democratic House of Representatives majority met yesterday to vote on leadership. As expected, the Democratic caucus chose Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. The question now is whether or not she will have the 218 votes she needs to actually become Speaker in January. We discuss the results of the Democratic leadership vote with a political scientist and find out how the opposition to Nancy Pelosi might play out in January. Alisa von Hengel is an associate professor of political science and American government at my alma mater, UW-Superior. She specializes in women and politics. Alisa, welcome to the morning show. Okay. And I don't hear Alisa. We're connecting with our guest. I'm wondering what you thought about all the kerfuffle about Nancy Pelosi, and let us know what you thought of the vote yesterday by the Democrats to select her as their leader and put her forward as Speaker. She still needs to get 218 votes in January to actually become the Speaker of the House. But what did you think about the vote and about the other decisions that the Democrats made about their leadership yesterday? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Alisa, we have you now.
I hope so. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know. The gremlins were out in force today.
yeah, they were just waking up, and I'm sure.
from a procedural standpoint, what happened in the Democratic caucus yesterday?
So the Democratic caucus met in a closed-door session, and although Nancy Pelosi was running unopposed for the speakership position, they did have a ballot, and so there were people were able to vote yes or no for Nancy Pelosi. And so the Democrats selected their person for the position, but as you mentioned, obviously earlier, it still has to go to the House floor for a roll call vote come January 3rd, and that's where there's talk that she might run into some trouble getting enough votes to continue to maintain that position.
Who was elected to the other leadership positions in the Democratic Party yesterday?
Most notably, we saw Hakeem Jeffries selected to the House Democratic Caucus Chair position. It's the number five position for the Democrats, and he was running against Barbara Lee, who was in Congress for about three decades or so. She's a little bit older of a woman. She's been in Washington in government for quite some time. But Hakeem Jeffries, a new up-and-coming member of the House from New York, was victorious. And he represents this, or is seen as representing this new generation of Democrats coming into Congress, new generation with perhaps a slightly different ideology or focus or goals. And with the vote to secure Hakeem Jeffries in this position, it really highlights the power and the influence of this sort of ideas of the new generation that they want a shift in leadership to hopefully create new strategies and for movement forward.
Was that a surprise that he was selected?
I think there was. It was perhaps not quite as much a surprise as Nancy Pelosi being selected, it was interesting in that, again, he was running against somebody with a tremendous amount of experience in Congress, in the White House, in Congress, in Washington. And, again, his position, he's been there since 2012. So he has a few years in Congress under his belt. But it is quite an upset for somebody who's been in Congress for such a little time to have beaten out Barbara Lee, who's a popular Democrat, who's been there for well over 30 years and has been successful in achieving a lot of goals that she's pushed through in Congress.
The race for Speaker of the House was the headline maker. That's been the lead story here. but in the end, Nancy Pelosi ran unopposed. But what were the issues of the people who were saying they didn't want her to return as Speaker?
Well, for a lot of the new incoming members, Democrats to this Congress, they actually flipped Republican districts, and they come from constituents that are more moderate, that were previously voting for Republican lawmakers. And so a lot of these individuals, and often based upon how she's been characterized in the media and in campaigns, saw her as representing the ultra-liberal, too liberal faction of the Democratic Party. There's also some that see that her focus or the issues that she's raising at the start of this next session represent old ideas, and they're not seeing a representation of the ideas or the goals, the issues that they feel are most essential to be addressed. So there's a kind of a mix of positions from this opposition, and it's unclear, really, it changes, it seems, from day to day, who's in and who's not part of this opposition. But there are those who see her as, I think in general, overall, the concern is that it represents, again, this old, outdated leadership that we've had in this position for a number of years, and that it's simply just time for a change.
But nobody stepped up to actually be the face of that change. There were some members who, you noted, actually ran on their, at least in part, it wasn't a major part of their campaign, but they did say they weren't going to support Pelosi as Speaker, who maybe changed their minds after they were elected and after they met with her. But who would they put up? I mean, you can't replace somebody with nobody.
Right, and that is the catchphrase that seems to be everywhere. And I think so. Marsha Fudge, a Democrat from Ohio, was sort of, it seemed, flirted with the idea for a little bit of potentially running against her. But as Marsha Fudge noted, and as did, you know, I think everyone involved, that she does have the votes. She is a very seasoned legislator, and she was working with, you know, individuals, you know, in her party to get them to, you know, to demonstrate that she has momentum, that there's really nobody who could stand a chance to oppose her. And so they just, as of right now, there is no candidate of, you know, choice for this opposition to Nancy Pelosi. Whether or not someone will emerge when it seems now that there may be a chance to upset the vote, the roll call vote in January. But there still has not been any names floated. One of the individuals involved in the opposition to Pelosi did run against her in 2016 within her own caucus, Tim Ryan, and he received 63 votes in opposition to Pelosi in 16. And as you mentioned earlier, she lost 32 votes yesterday. So whether or not he will be the face of or the leader of this in the future, I think there's still trying to figure out who exactly could be the person that would stand a chance at beating Pelosi.
Okay, so if you had to put a little money down on this quickly, will she get 218 in January?
Well, I stopped betting on politics after the last presidential election.
Okay, well, but, never mind. We'll let you off the hook then.
She does have a very strong chance, and it, I think, would be quite the upset if she was to lose. So,
all right,
I'll say that.
We'll leave it there. Lisa Van Hagel, an associate professor of political science at American Government at UW Superior, specializing in women in politics. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And go Yellow Jackets. Still ahead on the morning show, we explore silent letters and confusing spellings that pepper the English language, and we are going to have some fun with this. Plus, we want to know, what's your favorite children's book? Call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Next up, P for pterodactyl.